You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Bill Barnwell joins us now, one of the best at ESPN. You can see his work all over the NFL site. Bill, hi, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. How you doing?
Hey, Anita, how are you?
I'm great. The Seattle Seahawks-Patriots game, this is one of the games that I like. I'll be talking about tomorrow morning on Daily Wager. Seattle at home, -4. Listen, Cam Newton, 75 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, but let's be honest, he went up against the Miami Dolphins week 1. I think this is going to be a whole different animal, no pun intended, in week 2. Your thoughts on how this game is going to play out?
Yeah, I think if you're the Patriots, you know, you want to keep that Seahawks offense off the field, so I think you figure a heavy dose of the running game, heavy dose of Cam. We know that the secondaries, the strength of this defense, they obviously have a couple talented linebackers. Bobby Wagner is a superstar. Jamal Adams obviously played really well in week 1. So you figure they're going to try and beat up that defensive line, which is kind of the weak point of this Seattle defense. So I think it all leans towards, a heavy dose of the running game. If the Seahawks can stop that, I think they're going to be in okay shape. And if they can't, Russell Wilson might not get the opportunities to prove what he can do that maybe he got a week ago against the Falcons.
Interesting. So you think the Pats are going to eat up time of possession and run the football with Cam and those running backs to try to keep Russell Wilson and that offense off the field? That's how you see this being scripted out?
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to try and do. I mean, at the end of the day, obviously, a plan is only a plan. If they struggle and, Russell Wilson goes up 14-0 in the first quarter, that plan's out the window and Cam's going to throw the ball 35 times. But I think that's the most logical thing, right?
Yeah. Game plan wise, and of course, we know that Bill Belichick, he always likes to take one player out of the equation. Who do you think that player is? If you were Bill Belichick, put on your... Put on your sweatshirt, Bill, and if you were Belichick, who would you try to eliminate out of that Seahawks offense? Would it be Metcalf?
I don't know. I think I would probably go with Lockett, or maybe I would go with keeping Russell Wilson in the pocket. Maybe maybe that's the bigger concern. It's just maybe not letting him turn into the sort of the two-way dynamic player. I mean, obviously last week he had 30 yards in like a speed option. He's going to make plays happen 5 or 6 seconds after the play if you let him. So I wonder if it's a thing where they say, okay, you're going to hit Lockett, you're going to hit Metcalf, those plays are going to happen, but let's have them be 10-yard plays as opposed to 30-yard scramble drill plays, because Patriots, we know, play a ton of man coverage. They are very comfortable with their guys holding up the one-on-one against the opposing team's best receivers, and most weeks they can do that. So I'd figure, can't have those guys cover 5 or 6 seconds, but he can come down to cover 2 or 3 seconds. So I think it's going to be about, trying to create, opportunities to keep Olsen in the pocket. And, they're going to have some yards, they're going to make some plays, but maybe if you're the Patriots, maybe it's even saying, okay, we're not going to let you throw the ball. If you want to run the ball 30 times, we know you want to. You didn't do it week 1, but you've wanted to in years past. Run the ball. We'd rather have you run the ball for 4.5 yards a carry than throw the ball with Russell Wilson and have him throw 40 times, because he can be so devastating if you do, quote-unquote, let Russ cook.
Let Russ cook. Mr. Unlimited. That's going to be a great Sunday night game. Again, Bill Barnwell will join us here on 98.7 ESPN. Another game that I think folks are going to have their eyes on is the Tampa Bay Bucs game. You've got Tom Brady at home taking on Carolina. I love Matt Rhule, by the way. He's special, and I adore the man. I really want to see him have a lot of success in Carolina. But, Bruce Arians came out this week and got criticized for criticizing Tom Brady. your thoughts on how that all unfolded this week, and what are your expectations in this matchup?
Tom Brady's not naive, and I'm sure he went into the situation knowing, hey, if I don't play well, Bruce Arians is going to criticize me. He's not going to sugarcoat things. It's not his style. Bruce Arians, honestly, is an old man. He has nothing to gain or lose. He was retired. He came back because he wanted to win. And, what he said was accurate. Tom Brady made 2 mistakes in that game, and it cost the Bucs, a pretty significant portion of their win expectancy. And he was, I thought, pretty good otherwise. And I think with Carolina, I like what their offense did a week ago. I was impressed, but their defense is a work in progress. I think Matt Rhule would tell you that himself. I mean, this is a team that's rebuilding on the defensive side of the football. It's not having a ton of talent. The talent they do have is kind of still a work in progress. And we saw plays where they looked good against the Raiders, but the Raiders did a lot to move the ball effectively against them. So I think this is going to be a bounce back game for the Bucs. I think Tom Brady played pretty well outside of those 2 interceptions, and I think he's going to play pretty well this weekend. Obviously, losing Chris Godwin does hurt, but you're hoping a healthier Mike Evans. Maybe it's just some signs of life from Rob Gronkowski. And I think, we're going to see those three Buccaneers backs, all rotate right in, and I think all have a significant share of the workload. So I anticipate a pretty comfortable Bucs victory here in week two.
Yeah, Chris Godwin dealing with a concussion issue. So hopefully, I drafted Scotty Miller like in the last round of a lot of my fantasy leagues. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We'll see if that chemistry continues to develop between him and Tom. Before I let you go, I do want to touch on our two local teams here. And we've been spent really the first hour of the show talking about the Jets and trying to walk a lot of Jets fans off that ledge. They're home against another very good defense in the 49ers. No Jamison Crowder, which is a big red flag for me. But also the 49ers coming in, traveling west from the west to the east, practicing in very subpar air quality conditions. There's a lot of obstacles for this 49ers team coming in, not to mention they don't have Kittle. How do you see this game playing out, Bill?
I mean, Anita, as someone who, covers the NFL from a betting side, this is a classic, 1 p.m. game for a West Coast team where nobody thinks the home team can win and they're 7-point underdogs. It's just a classic, letdown game, or not a letdown game, but a classic game where, you think one side has no chance and they might lose by a lot, but they have more of a chance that people are giving them credit for. And I think the Jets, it was not an impressive performance in week one, I think it's fair to say, but I think they have more of a shot at competing here than people give them credit for. I have to admit, I watched Jimmy Garoppolo last week. He did not play well. He really struggled. I know that Sam Darnold didn't have his best game, but Jimmy Garoppolo really did not look very good. And a lot of that came without George Kittle, who, by the way, is not playing this week. And that's a huge loss for the Niners. He is the core of their offense. He makes them so much better with his blocking and as a receiver. So, the Niners aren't healthy. They lost Richard Sherman to IR for a couple weeks. There's going to be some big plays in this game, I think, or big play opportunities for the Jets. I know they have to protect Sam Darnold, and that's going to be a big question mark. But, I think there are some opportunities for the Jets to be more competitive than people are giving them credit for in this game.
Interesting. The line is at +7, by the way. The over-under is at 41.5. And last but not least, the Giants, they head to Chi-Town to take on the Chicago Bears, who still believe in Trubisky. I don't quite understand. But anyway, the Bears -5.5 at home. The Giants obviously did not look good in week one, but let's be honest, they went up against, in my opinion, the best defense in the NFL this season, limiting Saquon Barkley to 6 yards on 15 carries. Really remarkable. Is this a bounce back game you see for the Giants? Do you think the Giants even have a chance tomorrow, Bill?
Yeah, you always have a chance when you're playing Mitchell Trubisky. I think that's the first thing we start with, is just Giants probably have the better quarterback of these two teams. And that's not how you determine everything, but it starts with something. And I think Daniel Jones, for a guy who was getting, beat up in that game, a guy who did make a couple of mistakes, but I thought otherwise, he played pretty well start to finish against one of the best teams in football. The Bears do have a very talented front seven, but we saw last week, you can make plays against the secondary. It is not a secondary that's going to shut you down. So, I think Saquon Barkley's going to have a better game. Hard to be worse, I suppose. But I think the offensive line hopefully should play a little better. And I think that, the Giants kind of stumbled on something, having Saquon Barkley split out into space. I think he had more snaps as a receiver split out of the backfield than any other running back in football in week one. And I think we're going to see more of that here in week two. So, I think to me it's going to be about, can the Giants force takeaways? We know with Trubisky, there are opportunities for interceptions. He had two or three passes last week that the Lions just dropped interceptions. And if they had picked up those interceptions or maybe caught the pass on the next to last play of the game, things would have gone differently. So I think if they can get Trubisky to turn the ball over twice, I think they actually are in pretty good shape. But if they can't get those interceptions or those fumbles, it's going to be a lot tougher.
Wow. So Bill's liking the dogs. Both New York teams heading into week two.
We're always too confident after week one. We're always too confident about what we see how teams are hopeless, et cetera, et cetera. Week one is only 1 week of information.
I love it. I love it. Bill, thank you so much. Really love that you're a part of the show on Saturdays. Appreciate your time, my friend. Enjoy week two.
Of course, Nate. I'll see you next week.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.